Well, say good evening to everyone. It's good to have the children here. And I think somebody else wants to be the preacher tonight. So that's good. Looking for his dad. We bid you welcome. This is our parents' night for Youth Challenge. And we're going to begin by singing one of our children's hymns, 700. Around the throne of God in heaven, thousands of children stand, children whose sins are all forgiven. A holy, happy band. While together in prayer, let's look to the Lord for tonight's meeting. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we still our hearts in the presence of our God tonight as we draw near to the throne of grace in prayer, very simply to commit our way unto the Lord and to pray for His blessing to be upon this special night this evening. We thank you for the hymn that we've sung together, thinking of that great innumerable company of people in glory standing around the throne of God. And undoubtedly many who, as children, sought the Lord and found grace in His sight. And these questions that are asked, how did they come to be there? And we are reminded that they came as any other person comes. They come through a knowledge of the Savior and what His work was at the cross and that application of that work to their own hearts and lives when they were converted and saved by the grace of God. We give thanks for our children's work and for the Tuesday night meeting each week and for all that Andrew and the team puts into it. And we thank you, Lord, that children come and they sing the choruses, they learn the memory verses, they listen to your word as it is expounded. We think of the study that they've just had in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And Lord, we pray that all the great truths of your word and of the gospel will be remembered by the children. We know that they do retain knowledge, and we pray that these things will do them good, enlighten them, bring them to an understanding of even their own spiritual need of a Savior. So bless the meeting tonight, all who are here, the families that are represented, the children who have come tonight, some perhaps not normally coming on the Lord's Day, but bless them, encourage them, and give us, Lord, a special time in the house of the Lord this evening. May we know the presence of Christ, who has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to see all who have come, and at this stage I want to bid you welcome in the Savior's great name to the house of God. This is our parents' night. We have come to the end of our children's meetings on a Tuesday night, and we always have a special Sunday night meeting. And you have come, if you're a visitor, a parent, a grandparent, a friend of the family, we want to give to you a very warm word of welcome, and we trust that you feel very much at home with us. We are delighted to see the children that are here, and we bid them a very, very special word of welcome. And in a little moment or two, we're going to hear from them, because they're going to sing some of the choruses. I think Philip's going to lead them in that, so we look forward to that. Andrew and Naomi Toms and their two boys, Nathan and Joel, are visiting with us tonight. They come from England. Many of you will remember Mr. Toms. He's been here in times past. Some of you may remember Andrew as well and his wife. And to you, we give a very warm word of welcome as you visit Northern Ireland. They are from the Chelmsford area in England. As you come here to worship with us at Hebron, may you also feel very much with us in the congregation. To those listening in on the internet, we give a special welcome to you also. And could I say that refreshments will be served after tonight's meeting? I'll make an announcement about that at the end. Some are special for the children to go, all right, so that you're all down there by yourself. Not by yourself, but there'll be some of the adults there to supervise. Could I also say that a number of people have indicated their desire to go to Romania on outreach this year, and that outreach will be from the 24th of June to the 5th of July, and there's going to be a short meeting after tonight's meeting is over, the supper is over, and those that are involved in bus runs are back again. This morning, we're trying to get back to normality and God's work, and there was a special bring a friend to Sunday school this morning, and I was away in Portadown, as you know, preaching at their youth meeting this morning, but I was delighted to hear the reports of the children that came. And this is just a couple of the photographs of Sunday school this morning. Some of you children might see yourself. And I think there was 23 new children. So the 23 and those who brought them are pictured here standing at the front of the church hall. So thank you to the children who did so well in the Sunday school end and bringing their friends in. Tomorrow night, it's our Sunday school teachers' prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. On Wednesday night, there's a special meeting in Port Glenone at 8 p.m. It's an annual Easter rally. Reverend John Greer is the preacher. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. And then it's the Easter weekend down at the Martyrs Memorial, the missionary and youth rally for everyone, not just for youth, but everyone at 8 o'clock on Friday night. Young people that belong to our youth fellowship, the buses are leaving on Friday night at 6:45. We want you there in good time at the Martyrs. Then just jumping ahead to the Easter Monday, 7 o'clock meeting. And again, we encourage you to attend the Easter Convention this year and be part of those services. On Saturday morning, it's the open air in the center of our town at 11 a.m. Next Lord's Day begins with prayer meeting at 8 a.m., our Sabbath school 10:30, and the Bible class 10:30. Mervyn will be speaking on Alive Forevermore, and of course that's the message of the resurrection. We have our own services 12 noon and 7. The Hebron Choir will be singing at both of the services, and in the will of the Lord, I'll be here to preach. Refreshments will also be served after the evening service, and we're asking our ladies if you can bring half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns. Thank you. Some special announcements, because we are reaching out with the gospel. There's a men's breakfast on Saturday the 23rd of April. We'll give you the details near the time. Our Sabbath School social, the 29th of April, that's a Friday night. At the family night in May, Kira Arnold is coming to testify. Our ladies' fellowship, Wednesday the 4th of May. We're having a baptism service on Monday the 16th of May. There are 12 or 13 people who are lined up to be baptized from our own congregation. The Ballymoney Show, which is an outreach here in the town, we have a stall at that on the 3rd and 4th of June. The Sunday school outing on the 11th of June, and then Children's Day the 19th, if you can retain all that. But as the weeks come up to each event, we will let you know. Thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to God's work, and we are much in prayer for the sick of the congregation. We have been expecting 34 evacuees or refugees from the land of Ukraine, and they've been sitting in Poland for probably 5 weeks now. We have accommodation ready for them here. Will you pray that the Lord will undertake that the visas that are necessary will be forthcoming? The Home Office has been very, very slow, as you've heard in the news, processing applications coming into the United Kingdom. These folks are from one of the churches there, and we're opening our accommodation, we're opening our hearts to them. We've heard today that at least six of them have received now a positive correspondence from the government giving them their visas, but there's 34 altogether, so that's a matter for prayer. The pallets that we sent to Romania have arrived safely, and this is to help with the refugees that they are receiving. So we just want you to know that they've arrived safely. A lot of you put much work into getting these things prepared. Now the children are going to sing, and we're delighted to have them tonight. And Philip, you're going to organize this. So where do you see in this nice orderly fashion the way our children can come up? Children, would you like to come up to the front? Are they coming to sing standing here on the platform? Just in case you didn't hear Philip's announcement, because he's not microphoned, he was asking workers to come up to the front.
Thank you. Gospel 3.
Children, would you sing the one Deep and Wide? During the week of meetings, we had a very tall preacher, and I was thinking of tall and short, and that's what it looked like whenever I was in the pulpit with him, for he's 6'7", and he was tall, and I was the short one on that occasion. So there is a fourth verse, isn't there? Deep and Wide. Thank you. It's always a delight to see the children coming out on a Tuesday night, and whenever I can get to that meeting, I always love to be part of the children's work in the church. So thank you, children, for singing so well tonight. May the Lord bless those songs that you brought to us. Now we're going to sing another children's hymn. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Now, there's one more song that I want to sing tonight before we come to the message, because it's in keeping with what I want to say this evening. And it's a very well-known chorus, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Who knows this one, children? Okay, quite a few of you, but everyone is going to sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We'll sing through the verses once, and then I want to do something just before we come to God's word. We're going to sing it again, but with a little bit of a difference, and I'm going to come down here for the message, because I like to come down near the children so that if any of them misbehave, I can just speak to them nicely. Okay. So you know, sometimes when this little chorus is sung, that someone will sing the verses and then you will sing the chorus simultaneously. Yeah. Those that are familiar with the chorus, you'll understand that. So what we're going to do is we're going to get this side, these two sections, to begin, and you will sing the verse, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and you sing it all the way through without stopping as we see it, and then you will come in the chorus, and you'll begin with, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Okay? Everybody understand? That's important. So to help, Mervyn, would you like to take this side, because we know Mervyn's very, very good at leading. And Elaine, would you like to take this side? She's a school teacher, so she can get cross with you, okay? It means coming up here, Elaine. Mervyn, means coming up and leading your side. I can't lead two sides at one go. We sing through the three verses, okay? And I'm going to move the verses with this side, okay? So this side has to know. I think it should be all right. Yeah, I think it will be. Okay, so your side is starting, Mervyn.
Sing your very best.
not to be any gap between the so we just have to have no gap between them because they keep singing. All right. But, Elaine, that was a lovely solo all the same. It was very, very nice. Well done. So we're going to try this again here. Man shall not live by bread alone, and you have to come in with the Alleluias, okay? I was getting ready to come over this evening. I got a phone call from my grandson Jake, and Jake says, "Can I move the clicker tonight?" So he got his opportunity. Children, I want to read God's word, and I want to read from Matthew chapter 6. Okay. If you have a Bible with you, you can follow the reading. And if not, the Lord said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So we've got ears to hear. Let's hear God's precious word from verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more precious than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I want to speak tonight on our number one responsibility. And did you hear a verse read tonight that was very similar to what you were singing just a minute ago? Does any child know what that verse is? It could be a memory verse in Sunday school or the children's meetings. It's in chapter 6 and verse 33. All right. Now, when we have our children's meetings, we do memory verses and we get the children to repeat it. So I'm going to do that tonight, okay? We want the children to repeat this because when you look at it and you say it, it helps you to remember it, okay? And we always begin with the words, the Bible says, and the Bible says, and if you look at the bottom, you get the reference in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and then we'll go to, but seek ye first. Okay, after two, one, two. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We'll do that one more time. 1, 2. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you know, children, that everybody in this world is seeking for something? And everyone in this meeting tonight, the young and the old, they're all seeking. Now, let me explain by showing you some of the pictures here tonight. Some are seeking for education, all right? And it's a good thing to be educated. It's a good thing to study at school. And I know that many of you children, you apply yourself. And when you go into school, you do your best. When you come home, you do your homeworks and all that kind of thing. And it's a good thing to seek education. And some people really, really apply themselves to this. And then when you get a little bit older, you might seek for employment, okay? You'll want a job, and these people are dressed up in different ways, signifying some of the jobs that they might have. Some of you might grow up, and you might work in one of the shops here in Ballymoney. Some of you might become a school teacher. You might become a farmer. You might do some of these things. But you will be seeking, and people are seeking for employment. And then there are others, and they're seeking for ambition. They've got an ambition in life, and that becomes very, very important for them. And that's a goal. That's something that they're aiming towards, something that they really, really want to be in this life. And then there are some, and they're seeking for fame. And that's not really a great thing to seek for. But there are some people, and that's what they want to do. They want to become really famous. They want to come in these big cars and be left off at very, very special events. And fame is all that they can think about. And then there are some, and they want to be successful. Nothing wrong with being successful. Some people want to be successful in sport, maybe in football. And I don't know any of those. I don't even know what teams they play for. Because I don't understand what these colors are, but I do know that when I looked up on the internet, that they're famous and they make an awful lot of money and they've become very successful. And maybe you want to become successful in a sport. And then there are some people, if they're honest, and this is what they're seeking. What's that?
Money.
Oh, you all knew what that was, didn't you? And that becomes their ambition. And they spend a lot of time trying their best to make their fortune and to make money in this life. And then there are others, and they're seeking for pleasure. And that's all that really features in their life. Others are seeking for friendships. Okay, and it's good to have friends. But they concentrate an awful lot on making friends and building up relationships. And of course, it can be a fairly good thing, because sometimes when you get friends with somebody when you're a wee bit older, it can lead to married life. All right? Any of you children, you thinking about getting married? Reuben put his hand up by mistake, but I'm sure he will try someday. And people are seeking for these things. Some of them are very good things to seek for. Some of them maybe not so good. But very, very sadly, children, in this life, people don't seek after God. They don't seek after the things of God. And that's very, very sad. You know, they can seek for all these other things, and some of them are important, and you certainly need education, and you need employment, and you need these things in life. But you know, this is so important, to think about the Lord and to seek him. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The people that lived in the days of Jesus Christ, they were also seeking. Now, they weren't really seeking for many of the things that I showed you tonight, but they were seeking for things that you do need every day, like food, drink, and clothing, all right? And they were asking the question, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we put on, or what shall we wear? Now, if you lived in Bible times, you might understand these were the things that they were really seeking for, because people were, They were very poor back in Bible times, a little bit like some of the countries that we visit. And you will know that we go to Romania, and very often we have to try and buy some food and clothing for the children there because they've got very little. And you might understand, if you lived in the midst of that kind of situation, what am I going to eat today? But there's no food in the house. Or what am I going to drink? Or what am I going to put on? You know, when you don't have many clothes. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he really is telling them in this part of his message, in his sermon, he says, I don't want you to worry about these things. I don't want you to be really seeking after them the way that you are. I want you to know that your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. God knows these things. And he used two illustrations. He talked about birds and he talked about lilies, okay? So he said, do you see the birds that fly? Your heavenly Father feeds the birds. And do you see the lilies of the field? God, they're like plants. Okay, they're like plants. God clothes them. In other words, God makes them beautiful, all right? And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. So I don't want you to worry about it. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, as I was thinking of this verse, children, I was reminded that it comes from the greatest book. What is the greatest book in this world? The book that has been sold right across this world more than any other book on earth. Lexi, the Bible, okay. And you see many people with their Bibles. They've got them in their hands tonight. The greatest book. And these words come from the greatest preacher. Who is the greatest preacher? God or the Lord Jesus Christ? What were you going to say? Jesus, okay. So the greatest book and the greatest, I think I have a slide on this, the greatest preacher. And maybe what was the greatest sermon? The Lord preached a lot of sermons when he was here upon the earth. And we have to say they were all great sermons. If the greatest preacher is preaching, they have to be. But maybe this one, and I'm going to test your knowledge now. What do you think you called this sermon? You have it in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. It's the longest recorded sermon of Christ. And I'm sure it was in summary, but it's the longest recorded sermon of Christ in the Bible. Does anybody know the name that we give to it? The Sermon on the Mount. And it's probably the greatest sermon preached by the greatest preacher. And we have it, of course, in the greatest book. And I just want to use this little text as we close tonight to teach you some things. What the Lord is saying about what our greatest responsibility is. All right. So these are things that you're going to remember. If there's a word that I give to you that I think maybe you don't understand, I'll explain what the word means. But I want you to think, first of all, about the place. All right, the place. What is the place that Jesus is speaking about here? Yeah. Yeah, you're right, and I'll come to that in a moment, Jake. Yeah, you're right, but I want the words that are behind me. The kingdom of God. Do you know what a kingdom is? Anybody knows what a kingdom is? You've heard of the word. Do you know what a kingdom is? The dominion of a king. Do you see the word kingdom? King, you understand. You see that word D-O-M, Dom? It is the abbreviation of dominion. And it really means where the king has dominion, where the king rules. And this is the place that the Lord is speaking about. And there is an application to this life. You're to seek the kingdom of God in this life. And you can enter into that kingdom right here upon the earth. I think of a man that you know about in the Bible called Nicodemus. And he met the Lord one night, and Jesus explained to him what he needed to do to get to heaven. And he said this little sentence to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see what? The kingdom of God. So to be born again, to be brought into the family of God, you're brought into the kingdom of God, and you will see that eternal kingdom one day. So you enter the kingdom through salvation, coming to know Christ as your Savior, and then the word that was used tonight, heaven, because the kingdom of God ultimately is heaven. That's the eternal kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that is forever and ever and ever. The kingdom of heaven. You know that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven? One of the famous passages of Scripture that he spoke about it is in John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, it's the night before the cross, before the Lord Jesus Christ goes to die for our sins. And he's got his disciples gathered together around the table, and he's talking to them, and he's telling them that he's going to go away. And so he was. The Lord Jesus was going to die. He was going to be crucified. He was going to rise again the third day. We rejoice in these truths all the time. And of course, at Easter, traditionally, we remember them. And then he was going to ascend into heaven. That's where he is now. And you know, the disciples were sad, because they had been with the Lord for 3.5 years, and Jesus is now talking about going away. And if you had a very special friend and they were saying, listen, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go away, you might be sad too. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. He didn't want them to be troubled. He didn't want them to be sad. And one of the ways that he encouraged them was to tell them about heaven. And do you know what he called heaven? His Father's house, where there's many mansions. All right, his Father's house. You know, heaven is God's home, eternal home. And it is the home of all who have come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say tonight, if you know the Lord as your Savior, that heaven is our home. That's where we're going. This world, yes, we have our homes here, but this world is not really our home. We're going to a home that is far better than anything that we know on earth. In the Bible, it's also called a city. Abraham, you've heard of Abraham in the Old Testament. New Testament tells us that Abraham looked for this city. It wasn't an earthly city. It wasn't some great city in Israel or some other nation. No, Abraham, the Bible says, he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here's a place that God has made. And Abraham, he was thinking about where he was going in the future. When you come to the last chapters of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you're going to read about this majestic, beautiful city of heaven. And I would commend those chapters to you to read them, okay? So heaven is a wonderful place. It's also the place of the no mores. Is there anything in this life that makes you sad? Is there anything in this life that causes you pain? Yeah. I was doing a little job for Andrew the other night, okay? And he wanted me to use, this is just coming to my mind. He wanted me to cut up the little tokens that you got at the Tuesday night meeting. Remember the little tokens, you see? I did the cutting of those. And I was in haste. I was doing it quickly. And I was using a guillotine. Do you know what a guillotine is? You know the big guillotine that comes down that chops paper? And somehow or other, I got my thumb stuck in it. And it came down, and it just cut the top. It's the first time I ever bled through my nail. Is Phil okay? Phil doesn't like even discussing blood, let alone seeing it. But I did, and it's starting to heal up a wee bit. But I was in pain just for those few moments. Are you ever in pain? You ever hurt yourself? Have you ever been sick? Been a lot of sickness about this past 2 years. Have you ever known anybody who has died in this life? All those things that make us sad. Do you know that heaven is the place of the no mores? And Jesus says, or the Bible says concerning heaven, that there's no more pain. There's no more sickness. There's no more death. All those things are passed away forever. So what a wonderful place heaven is. And you know, the question is, are you going there? Are you going there? Do you know Christ? This is the place. The second thing I want you to notice is the provision. Because Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his what? And his righteousness. Okay, that's a big word, and and maybe you don't fully understand it. Children, we don't have this. We don't have righteousness. The righteousness of which the Bible is speaking about here is to be right. Righteousness is to be right before God. But when we are brought into this world, we're not right before God. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Just in case anybody thinks that they are righteous, Paul went on to say, no, not one person is righteous in the sight of God. And this righteousness is like a garment, or it's like a piece of clothing that you put on. And when you seek the Lord, when you come to know Christ as your Savior, God takes away your unrighteousness, okay? And he gives to you this garment. It's an invisible garment of righteousness. He clothes you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Lord came into this world and he died upon the cross to provide that righteousness for you and for me. I want you to understand that tonight. And it's a must. We need to have this on if we're going to enter the place that we spoke about, the eternal kingdom of God. We need the righteousness of Christ. Have you got it? Are you wearing it tonight? There's a lovely little chorus that says, I am covered over in the robe of righteousness my Father gave to me. I am fully covered in the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for me. And when he, that is God, looks at me, he sees not what I used to be, but he sees Jesus. And that's what it is to have this righteousness upon you. Who knows the story of the prodigal son? John, or Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son, you know, the son that ran away from home, you may say, get into bad company, did a lot of bad things. Do you remember when he came home again? You know the story? I'm sure you've heard it in Sunday school. They said, you know, Father, I've sinned. I've done wrong. I've done wrong in your sight. I've done wrong in God's sight. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Can you just make me one of your servants? I'll be happy with that. And you know what his father did? His father forgave him. He confessed his sin and his father forgave him. And he called for the best robe in the house. Get that best robe and put it on my son. And that's a little bit like what God does for us when we come to him. He gives us righteousness. So there is the place. It's the kingdom of God. There is the provision. It is his righteousness. And then there is the pursuit. So I said, if there's a word you don't understand, we're going to try and explain it to you. Do you know what the word pursue means? Well, it's in the word that Jesus uses. What's the word there, beginning with S? Seek. Seek. Have you ever sought for anything? Have you ever searched for anything? Have you ever put your heart into something to really find it, to really accomplish it? You know, seeking takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy, even in the ordinary things of life. Anybody play football? Okay. Is Kerry here tonight? Where's Kerry? Kerry, do you have to train for football, or do you just go and play? You train. Do you have to put effort into it? Yeah. Half an hour a week? More. Okay, I know that you'll put more in it. Or anybody ever climbed a mountain? The last time I climbed Slieve Donard was 20 years ago. I was breathless by the time I got to the top. All right, so I haven't tried that again. So you need to go into training with Erwin. Erwin gets you prepared and gets you prepared for climbing the big mountains, okay? But it takes effort. And if you are really sincere about knowing the Lord as your Savior, it does take effort to seek him, to seek him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and come to know him as your Savior so that you will go to the place that we've been speaking about and be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then just one other little thought, and with this I will close. There is the priority. If you give priority to something, what would that mean, do you think? You put it first. Okay? We talked about some of these things tonight that people are seeking, like education. Okay, good to seek it, but it's not to be first. We've talked about employment, and people need employment, but it's not to be first. We have talked about even making money. Not lots of money. You don't need lots of money in this life, but you do need money to get through, pay the bills, buy your food, that kind of thing. But it's not to be your number one. We've talked about sport. Nothing wrong with playing sport. But it's not to be number one. No, the Lord is saying, you've got to put God first. You've got to seek His kingdom first, His righteousness first. And then those other things, all those other things that you're worrying about in the days of Jesus, like your food, your drink, your clothing, they'll be added unto you. The Lord will provide them, but put God first. And children, that's the message tonight. That's the message I want you to take home in your heart. This is your top priority. This is the number one thing that you ought to attend to. And this word first is a very, very important word. I trust that you will make it your ambition and that you will take God's word home in your heart tonight and seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and really to know your sins forgiven, to know that you are at peace with God, to know that you're going to the eternal kingdom of heaven. And what I say to the children, I say to the moms and dads, anyone here that doesn't know the Lord, Jesus would say these same words to you: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if you don't know Christ, we're here to help. There's some other things happening, and there'll be supper or some refreshments. But here's something more important: to know Christ as your Savior. We trust that you will come to know Him. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Our gracious God, we give thanks for the words of the Savior tonight, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Help the children to understand this verse of the Bible, these precious words that Jesus Himself speaks. And Lord, may they seek the Lord. May they call upon His name. And our adults, the mums and dads and others in this church tonight who do not know the Savior, Lord, may they see that this is something important, something that is needful. And may they seek Christ tonight and come to know what it is to be covered in His righteousness and to be ready for the eternal kingdom of God. So bless your word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn tonight is "There Is a City Bright. Closed are its gates to sin, not that defileth can ever enter in." We can't enter heaven with our sin. We can't enter heaven with our unrighteousness. That needs to be dealt with, and Jesus Christ is the one who deals with that forever. Let's think of the words as we sing them tonight. There's little gifts for the children to take home with them, and refreshments are going to be served. The children are going to the church hall. You know where you have the children's meetings, and there are things for you there, and then the adults and the others can stay and use the fellowship area. All right. So I'm going to ask Andrew to come. I'll give you this here.
Thank you. Okay, good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming. Now, just before we come to the little prizes that we have over here, I see someone's been pulling off. Mervyn, was that you? I think Mervyn was trying to take a wee peek to see what's below there. I hope that all the wee presents are still there. Do you think you know what they are?
I don't see what's under there.
You don't see what's under? Shh, it's a big secret.
I know what it is.
Okay. Just before we come to these wee prizes, you already heard tonight some of the choruses that the boys and girls sing on a Tuesday night that they've been learning. And over this past season, they have been learning the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Now, I'm going to see if any of the boys and girls can answer. Maybe just two or three questions about Pilgrim's Progress in both the younger and the older meetings. So can anyone tell me who was the main character in Pilgrim's Progress? Yes, Robert. Christian. And does anyone know who was Christian? Who does he represent in the whole story? Does anybody remember? Us. Somebody who is seeking salvation, somebody who is saved. And we follow Christian through his journey to, what was the name of the city? Can anyone remember the city he was trying to go to? Excellent. The celestial city. And what city did he live in before that? Do you remember right back to the very first night, maybe? The City of Destruction. So you all were listening really, really well. And we followed Christian as he left the City of Destruction and he made his way over to the Celestial City and all the hard times and difficulties that he found along the way. So well done on answering those questions. Okay, I want to just say a thank you. There's quite a few people I need to say thank you to. I need to say thank you to all the mummies and daddies that are here tonight and that sent the boys and girls along each week. I want to thank all the boys and girls that came. The meetings wouldn't really be very exciting if all the workers landed up and there was no boys and girls. We'd have to eat all the sweets and the chocolate all ourselves. Would that be good? No. And I want to thank all the workers that have came along each night that have helped us out on the buses, sitting with the children, telling stories, doing memory verses, doing quizzes. There's been a lot going on. So I want you all to give everyone a wee round of applause and to thank them for all their hard work. Okay, now on to the prizes. Somebody was trying to guess. I heard somebody there shouting out. What do you think the prizes are? Leah, I heard you shouting. Are you sure they're Easter eggs? Hands up who likes chocolate. I know Lex doesn't like chocolate. Isn't that right? Sort of. A wee bit. Okay, so you're all going to get a wee Easter egg to take home with you tonight. And to give me a hand to give these out, I've asked two workers, and I thought it would be a good idea to get one from each of the meetings. Okay, so from the younger meeting, the junior meeting, we've got David. Okay, David's going to help give these out. And we thought we'd ask one of our workers in the senior meeting, Melanie, to come up and give a hand with giving out the eggs as well. So this is for all the boys and girls, not just the ones that are at the front, but all the boys and girls that are here. So we'll call them up row by row, and Melanie, our senior worker, will help David give out the eggs. Thank you very much. Right, we'll start with this row here. You're not in that row. Go back. Start this row at the front. Come on up. And this row here. We'll start with the front two rows. Come up and get a wee egg. Okay, the second row can come up. Okay, the next row, come on. Okay, and the next row, come on up. Okay, and the next one, Jake Euro, come on up. And the ones from our older meeting as well, come on. Maybe these are all too big for Easter eggs. And are there any other boys and girls that are maybe not sitting with the children that want to come up for their egg? Jemima? Anybody else? You can see around.
Can I get this
egg? Ruby, come you get another wee egg for your brother. He's too shy to come up. You're not allowed to eat it now. Okay, has everybody got an egg? Don't you be taking all them home with you. I see Melanie trying to hide them there. Okay, if there's anybody else and you were too shy, come and see me after. And maybe if the workers are good, they'll maybe get one as well, because there are a few left over. Thank you very much, Melanie and David. Okay, now just before we close, another one. I'll give this one. Gone shy. I know that one's for his daddy. He doesn't need one at all. Okay, just before we close in prayer, we'll just say, once we finish closing in prayer, we're going to get the boys and girls to go out first, and we'll get them to come out this door. You know the hall that the meeting's in each week? That's where you're going for your supper. Okay, after we pray. And then the adults, you can go out the bottom door there and down the corridor, and your supper will be served out in the fellowship area. And any workers that had said to me that help, and the other one, make sure and come up. I don't want to be on my own with 50 children. Okay? So we'll close in prayer. So boys and girls, we're all going to fold our arms. We're going to bow our heads. And we're going to close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parents' night we've had tonight. We thank you for each and every boy and girl and mummy and daddy that came out for the meeting. We thank you for the past season that we've had with the boys and girls here on a Tuesday night, and for all they have learned about Pilgrim's Progress and the Christian life. And we just pray that as they've learned all these things over the past weeks, that you would have spoke to them about their need of salvation. If any boy and girl that doesn't know thee yet as their Savior, that tonight would be the night that they will come to know thee. Lord, we thank you for the food that has been prepared. Pray we bless it to our bodily needs. And take us away our separate ways in safety. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we'll have the children then. If you come out first, we'll go out this door. You can walk. That's better. Okay, thank you very much.